Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for joining me today. I'm Mandy Rosniak, owner of Inner Winning Coaching, and this is my show, Train Your Brain to Up Your Game with Coach Mandy. I'll be here on the Life Coach Radio Network the first and third Friday of each month at noon, and I'm just so glad to have you join me here today. I'm a life coach that specializes in peak performance and transition coaching. I love working with athletes and motivated individuals who want to maximize their potential by reducing the pressures they face and develop that confidence that everybody wants and needs so we can consistently perform at our best, and also so we can boldly face the life transitions that we all have that come up, and usually when we least expect it. As we work together, we ignite your inner greatness so you can live fearless, focused, and free. That's really the big place that I like to come from, is having us come from that place of getting rid of our fears, having all that focus, and getting out there and doing the best we can every day. And so thank you again for joining me. If you'd like to more information on me, you can contact me and look at my website at coachmandy.com. My email address is mandy@coachmandy.com. I'm on Facebook at Inner Winning Coaching, on Twitter at Life Coach Mandy, and again here on the radio networks the first and third Friday. I feel like sometimes we're starting to get so much stuff built up around us that we have 5 minutes before we get into what we're talking about, so much promotion here. But in speaking to that, I want to take just a quick minute here to let you know about the Life Coach Radio Network workshop weekend that we have coming up this weekend, February 8th and 9th in New York City. Tickets are still available, and we'd love to have you join us if you're going to be around or in the area. If you want to come in for one day or both days, you can. And I'd like to just let you listen to our founder of Life Coach Radio Networks, Russ Perry, as he tells you a little bit more about the workshop weekend coming up.
Hi, everyone. This is Russ Terry, the founder, executive producer, and host here on the Life Coach Radio Networks. We're having a huge event in New York City that I want to tell you about. It's our first ever workshop weekend. 15 of us will be giving a variety of self-empowerment workshops on Saturday, February 8th and Sunday, February 9th in the heart of the Big Apple. We'll have seminars on stress, spirituality, success, divorce, living your best life, and a lot more. If you're interested, go to lifecoachradionetworks.com/newyearnewyou2014. That's lifecoachradionetworks.com/newyearnewyou2014. We'd love to see you there. And now, back to today's show.
So I'm really looking forward to that this weekend, and I hope, like I said, if anybody's in the area, they'll be able to join us. So today's topic, getting into, we've got the Winter Olympics getting started, and for many of you, you may already know that some of the competition has already started, but today marks the opening ceremonies for the Winter Olympics being held in Sochi, Russia, and as I said, competition has already gotten underway. And if you've been following the news, you've heard about the hotel rooms that still haven't been finished, the condition of the water, lack of light bulbs, and even pillows in many of the rooms, and quite honestly, I guess some of the rooms are missing doorknobs. Yet there has been much less fanfare about the human rights issue, or should I say lack of human rights attention being brought in Russia about the for gays and lesbians, which does pertain to anyone entering the country, including the athletes, the media, or any spectators. This summer, Russia passed an anti-propaganda law, which is a bill banning the propaganda of non-traditional sexual relations to minors, basically taking away any civil and human rights for anyone in the gay, lesbian, or transgender community. It's even become an acceptable practice to publicly beat up or humiliate anyone who is gay or thought to be gay, and the police do nothing about it because being gay right now is basically against the law. So hate crimes have risen and have become an acceptable practice, which is just really uncalled for. There's some videos out there and things that really, really will just turn your stomach if you watch what's being accepted and allowed to happen in Russia right now. So for the reason for this topic today is because the Olympics are being held there and the world's eyes are going to be on Sochi for the next 2 weeks. And yet there's just been too little of a spotlight put on this issue. And any gay athletes, media, or spectators from anywhere is also subject to this law. So you're basically being told, dive back into that closet while in Russia, or else you might not make it back out of the country. So I felt this was a great time to put a spotlight on this issue and what gay athletes deal with, even in this country. The United States has made some great strides, but we just still have such a long way to go. Just recently I was reading that Oklahoma State Representative Mike Turner wishes to end all bans of matrimony for the sake of keeping same-sex marriage illegal. So he wants to get rid of any marriage in Oklahoma just so same-sex marriage can't be legal. So when you have things like that still taking place, we have a long way to go until we reach that true point of acceptance. There's 17 other countries right now that have legalized gay marriage, and we're still running to hide in the back rooms here in this country. And then we wonder why our athletes live dual lives. So today I thought it would be a great time to focus on this topic, like I said, with the Winter Olympics taking place and this new law that has been passed in Russia that has virtually gone, I don't want to say unnoticed, but has had very, very, like I said, little fanfare and little discussion, not nearly as much as it should have, with the world's eyes being on Russia for the next 2 weeks. So I invited Rick Clements, who is the coming out coach, to be my guest today. And unfortunately, due to a scheduling conflict, we did have to pre-record today's show, but I guarantee you it's going to be a great conversation. And so I won't be able to take live calls during the show or during his interview, but I will be on the dashboard if you want to chat. And after the interview, if anyone wants to call in with any questions or comments, you'll be able to do that, and I'll give the number after the interview. But for now, please just sit back and enjoy the conversation. And like I said, when the interview is over, I will be letting you call in with any questions or comments if you choose. But again, for now, just enjoy the conversation, and I will be talking to you live once we're done.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome, and thank you for joining me here today. Just to let you know, this show is being pre-recorded, so we will not be able to take live calls, but I will be on the dashboard, so you will be able to type in and ask me any questions that I can be replied to as we go along today. I'm happy to have joining me here today Rick Clements. He's the Coming Out Coach, and he's a graduate of IPEC Coaching School, which is also the same program I went through back in 2010. And I'd like to take a moment here to welcome in Rick, and so he can give you a little bit of feedback as to who he is and how you can get in touch with him. And then we'll get into our topic, which we'll introduce just after we get Rick introduced here. So, Rick, welcome to the show today.
Hey, Mandy, thank you for having me on the show, and I really am looking forward to this. I think this subject is so important because it really does reach deep into the heart of, you know, what are human rights and what are individual rights for individuals, as each of us has our own stuff that we go through. And, you know, this is at the heart of what I do. I came to the IPEC program, and before I even got started in the program, I knew exactly where my coaching was headed. I was going to work with individuals who were coming to that space in life where they were trying to identify with their authentic self from that sexuality perspective. And when I walked in the doors, my business was all about helping individuals come out of the closet, whether they were men or women or had been married, not been married. And it's always been at my heart center, and it continues to be at my heart center. I really enjoy working with individuals in this arena, and I also enjoy working with them beyond once they've come through those doorways, and now they're stepping into a whole new life and really standing in the beautiful peace and joy of being authentically really who they are. So I'm really looking forward to chatting with you and seeing where we go during the show today.
Well, yes, and thank you for joining me, like I said. And the reason why I wanted to get into this topic today about it is because, you know, the work I primarily do is with athletes and helping them bring out their best. And, you know, one of the issues, you know, around it a lot of times is there's a lot of discussion about, you know, being out as an athlete, male versus female, and what really got me thinking about wanting to talk about this was what was this year's Winter Olympics, which are being held in Sochi, Russia. I keep saying that wrong, Sochi, Russia. And the reason behind it was because this past summer, Russia had passed a new law that was a ban on the spreading of homosexual propaganda among minors. We're not going to get into all the, you know, the details and the legalese behind it, but I thought what was interesting to talk about is we've got the Olympics coming up, and it's a, you know, worldwide event where you're supposed to be there to show your talents as an athlete and things like that. But there's actually been very little discussion about this, which is why I wanted to bring it up. And I know that there's been some discussion about some of the fears that possibly gay athletes might be facing it when they go over there, and what some of the repercussions could be because of some of these laws that have been passed in Russia around human rights and civil rights. So the IOC has yet to make any kind of statement about it, yet President Obama intentionally named a delegation from the United States that included gay athletes to make a bold statement about gay rights. And I think, unfortunately, there's just so much taboo around today still about gay athletes and coming out and all the implications. And yet here, you know, in the United States, we've taken such steps forward in equality and marriage rights and all those kinds of things. So that's my purpose for wanting to have this discussion here today. And I feel like, you know, the Olympics help bring a little bit of a limelight to it. If you want to take a moment, Rick, and just share with us maybe some of your thoughts. I'm not sure how much you've looked into the situation behind the Olympics and this whole piece, but just share your initial thoughts with the situation around this piece.
Absolutely. No, I've been following this quite a bit, and, you know, just from my own perspective, I was one of those individuals who came out late in life. I came out when I was 38 years old. I had come out earlier when I was 19, but lovingly allowed myself to be put back in the closet by my own beliefs as well as some external pressures from family and stuff. And I see a real parallel here of, you know, this authenticity to be who you are and to step into the limelight and say, I want to be an athlete. I want to be the best athlete in the world. I want to be an Olympian. It would be really a shame to not allow yourself to step to that level of truth just because someone said you couldn't. And the same thing applies in sexuality, and I see a real parallel here. Even though you don't work athletically hard to be out of the closet and be gay or lesbian or bisexual or transgender, you're not training like an athlete, but in so many ways you are, because what you're training for is the truth. You're training to be the best you. And I think this is where the parallels are, that, you know, by what's going on, it's saying you can't be this. You can be an Olympian, you can show up, you can do these things, but you step outside of those bounds and you face some horrid things could happen to you, you face some criticism, and I think this is where we as a human species, as residents of the earth, it's time for us to really realize this is about human stuff. This isn't about who we're sleeping with at night. This isn't about what we're doing behind closed doors. This is about what we are as humans, people we love, people we care about. And it really infuriates me to see this sort of stuff happening, and yet, once again, in some ways, it's kind of being brushed under the carpet, what's really being said and done as we approach these Olympics.
It's interesting, because as I was doing some research looking into this, you know, I wanted to look back on some of the other times when during the Olympics there was, you know, maybe some human rights or civil rights issues brought to the limelight. And I know one of the pieces that came through from the Olympic Committee was the Olympics aren't supposed to be about pushing agendas or pushing any specific topics or things like that. But yet, to me, you've got a world coming together. You've got all eyes on the world in one place. And I know I looked back. It was the 1936 Olympics where there was the issue with Jesse Owens and Hitler and the Nazis. And then in 19, I believe it was 68, it was the Black Power movement from the two United States runners who were trying to bring light to the rights of Black Americans. And there wasn't really a lot else that was brought up, but here we are again. We're bringing up another piece. And to me, the fact that the IOC, International Olympic Committee, is staying very quiet about it, you know, I understand that they aren't necessarily going to want to take a big stance. But what do you think, or how do you feel that by staying quiet, what message does that send, and maybe what could they be saying or doing to help sort of break this tension and issue as we head towards the Olympics?
Well, I think the bottom line is anytime we stay silent about anything, it's saying and sending a message that you're not good enough to be. It doesn't matter if you're gay or straight or obese or whatever. If you're telling someone to be silent about something, it's really a stamp and a line in the sand that says you're not good enough. And this silence and not really addressing this in a bigger way is allowing and perpetuating this continuum to occur in our world that homosexuality and, you know, bisexuality and transgender and all these things are, we're second-class citizens. Those of us that live in these worlds, we're second-class citizens, so let's just keep showing the world this is what we are. And I think it's really sad because that's the message that's being sent.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's two things you've already said today that I think, you know, powerful messages. And the first piece was when you said training to be the best you, because that is absolutely when you're an athlete, or if you're doing anything, you're studying to be a doctor or a lawyer, you're really looking to be the best you. And then, as you just said, you're not good at, you know, you're not good enough to be when these messages are being sent to you. So I think already those are two really powerful statements, that the message being it's about being in a space to be all of you and to allow yourself and your full self to come out, because I've got to imagine through the years, you know, some of these athletes, you know, they're treading lightly. There's a lot of areas where, you know, they're having to live these compartmentalized lives. You know, and Brian Botano was one of the U.S. delegates that was named to go over there, and he actually came out as a result of this appointment to go over there and be part of the U.S. delegation. And one of the things he said, though, is that being named and having some of the delegates that were named sort of speaks for itself, but he also cautioned about taking a more direct action. And one of the things he stated was, I think we have to be careful once we get over there. Now, obviously, there's no way for you to know what he means by that, but what might be some sort of interpretation on what he may mean by, but once we get over there, we have to be careful?
Well, I think any time you're put into a scenario of walking into a country where you're not completely sure about your own safety, whether it's because you're gay or lesbian or, you know, African American or, you know, whatever the differences may be, you know, you kind of do have to put yourself, you know, in that space of a defensive mode. I'm not sure exactly what he means either, but my guess would be as long as you show up and you toe the line, you play by the Olympic rules, you know, you do everything that's expected and you stay within the confines of the competitions and, you know, don't venture outside of that, you're probably okay. But having personally been to the Olympics back in 2006, my partner and I happened to go to the Olympics when they were in Athens, and while we didn't participate in any of the games, we got there the night of the closing ceremonies, and I can tell you that being in the energy of an Olympic city, when those are going on, there are athletes everywhere, and I think back to that night of walking around in Athens and having spent the day in Athens and, you know, walking side by side athletes from all over the world, to think that at any given time, just because of who they were, that possibly something could have happened to them that day, to me is a direct affront to what it means to care and love another human being. And so I think that could be under the covers of what Brian's saying is, you know, I don't know that you're so safe to potentially go walk the streets or whatever, if you give any essence of being out of the closet or if you wear a rainbow pin or whatever, because I had that experience of walking beside those athletes, and they're everywhere. They're everywhere. So to imagine that you're really going to be confined is kind of a scary thought just in and of itself.
It is, and as we know, too, that when you're in another country, Olympics or not, you have to follow the rules of that country. And, you know, being hauled off to a Russian, you know, work camp probably is not something anybody wants to have to even consider facing by potentially, you know, just even stepping outside the lines. And like you said, just the showing up part and is making, you know, that much of a message. So, yeah, and absolutely that was it is hard to know exactly what it means, but I think, you know, you summarized that really well. And today, too, is, like I said, the Olympics was the piece that sort of brought the spotlight onto it. And, you know, but a lot of it here is wanting to talk about athletes in general and the coming out and being a part of that whole process. Because, you know, we know Olympic athletes have a limited window to, you know, make their mark in the athletic world and even more so in the endorsement world. Because with Olympic athletes, that's a lot of them. Where a lot of their resources are going to come from is in the endorsement world. How much do you feel this plays into an athlete coming out?
Well, I think it's huge. I think this is that, you know, it's that moment of truth for them, and, you know, anything can tarnish anyone's reputation. You know, I don't care whether it's about, you know, your sexuality or your drug abuse or, you know, your alcohol abuse, whatever it may be. In fact, I had to laugh because, as I think I looked at some of the stuff that's going on in the world, and, you know, we're heading into award seasons, and, you know, the, you know, Golden Globes have already happened, Tony's Oscars, all this stuff are starting to come up. And it's the same scenario. All that needs to happen is a celebrity screws up, even if it's maybe they show up on a stage and they accept an award and they've got a little bit of a cocktail, suddenly everything can change for them. And for the athlete, to me, this is putting undue pressure on them that I can't authentically be who I am in my sexual orientation, but yet I'm expected to get out there and to perform at the top of my game. Well, can any of us ever really truly perform at the top of our game if we've got some heavy cloud or some heavy weight we're carrying on our shoulders? It's next to impossible. As much as we want to set it aside and say, okay, I can be bigger than this, and I can set that worry aside, or I can up my energy level, as, you know, we work with people in IPEC around their energy level, there's still that tentacle there of, okay, I'm supposed to do this, but I can't really be living my truth. And I think that's a real possibility for some of these athletes that will truly affect their performance. And then, let alone if they do come out, it could affect the rest of their life of doing something that they truly love, which is being an athlete and being paid to be an athlete and getting the endorsements. So I think it's a huge possibility for any of them to really be hurt by this.
It is. I think it was a great parallel bringing, you know, you talked about like the award season that we're coming into, right, with, you know, people going down the red carpet. And it's almost like any little glitch outside of the image that we have already portrayed of somebody or we've already decided who they are is the part that people then struggle with or they have a hard time accepting and dealing with. And the same way with an athlete, it's, you know, if you've got a, you know, without again trying to, you know, not getting into stereotypes, but if you've got a, you know, a big, strong football player and you've got this particular image of him, and then all of a sudden, you know, you find something out about them that's different, or you've got it changes your perspective on them, or you've got a movie star or an actor or actress that all of a sudden trips something up, or like you said, says slightly a wrong thing. I mean, look at the outcry what happened back with Mel Gibson when he had the those issues when all of a sudden he had those couple of drunken outbursts and well, this isn't the all American, well, he's not an American, but, you know, he broke down the all American image of who Mel Gibson was. And obviously, you know, it changes. So it's almost as if you're saying it's this image that we have of people, and when it slightly shifts from what we've already made of them, we don't know how to respond.
Right. If they've seen a picture of me or when they meet me, I'm almost 6'5". I weigh about 290, which a lot of people are like, wow, really, you weigh that much? But I'm a big, stocky guy. I look like a football linebacker. And I don't necessarily, fit the stereotype in the way that I talk, except like today, as some have heard, when I get really passionate, there is this other side of me that comes out that some would go, oh, he's so gay. But in reality, I've had more people who have talked to me via phone, and then when they meet me, they're like, really, you're gay? It's like, well, what? You expect that, we all fit some stereotype? No, there are lots of different types of gay and lesbian and transgender and all of this. One of my clients is a really masculine guy. He's the poster boy for, outdoorsmen, and he loves to work on cars, and he loves to, rebuild houses and all this stuff. And he doesn't really feel like at times that he really fits the gay mold. I'm like, who defined what the gay mold looks like? The gay mold can be a Brazilian diver, who's going to the Olympics. It can be Brian Boitano, who's a skater. It can be, Jodie Foster, who's an award-winning actress. It doesn't matter. The only thing that matters is what other people have fostered up in their minds to believe what gay or lesbian is, no different than what people foster up in their minds of what they believe a coach is. Those of us who are in the coaching industry, we've all had to battle in some way, shape, or form this vision of, oh, you're a coach, you're a life coach. Yeah, what did you do? Decide you knew everything about life? No, that's not it. We've been trained. So it's the similar parallels once again. It's all about what other people perceive, not what you really are.
Absolutely, and I think, too, you get those portrayals of a pride event that happens, and, the social media is very, very good, and the media itself of publicizing and showing some of the more flamboyant or some of the more colorful pictures, and then that's the image that gets set and gets picked.
Yeah.
And going back to Brian Boitano and, being an ice skater, which is an individual sport, and maybe there's a difference when it's an individual sport versus a team sport. But talking again about stereotypes and some things like that, why does it seem as if an ice skater, someone like Brian Boitano, because to be quite honest with you, I was actually surprised when I did hear he just came out, because I did not, I thought he had been out. Why does it seem like it's maybe more accepted that someone who's an ice skater, that, well, they're gay, but a football player, there's a totally different connotation to it? And like I said, I don't know if it's a team sport versus an individual sport thing, but, what are your thoughts on that?
Well, I'm going to take it a whole different direction. Why is it that it's so accepted or more accepted for the thought of two women to be getting on and having sex than it is for men? Because society has enabled and devalued this perception of women to where, the really macho perspective is, oh, wow, two women getting on and having sex, that's kind of hot, that gets me really turned on. And this is the devaluation of women. Well, the same thing applies when you start to look at it from the male perspective. If a guy is a little bit flamboyant, or he's a little tiny guy, in our world, what we would call a twink is someone who's really slender, a little effeminate, all these sort of things, then you kind of go, okay, yeah, we get that can be, that guy can be gay. But the minute you see some beefy, stocky, muscle-bound, or really ripped athlete, or some guy who's really well built, and then suddenly you find out he's gay, it's an affront to the masculine energy. And I say that from the perspective of both masculine energy within men, but also masculine energy even within women, because we all have masculine and feminine energy, and that suddenly is the affront, because we've been socialized to believe men are the hunters. Men are the guys who's supposed to be the, rescue the damsels in distress, all that sort of stuff. So that's why this is such a double-sided, stupid edged sword of, wow, we have such a double standard here. But for men, oh, that's not cool. For women, hey, that's cool because, you know, this is what we've done to women for years.
Excellent point that you brought up there about that in regards to, especially with the feminine and masculine energy and the, it's sort of, you know, knocks down the image of the masculinity when it's looked at like that. So great point in bringing that up, which actually leads me to sort of the discussion. I'm not sure if you're familiar with, and I'm sure you probably actually are, but Jason Collins, who's an NBA, actually former NBA player, last spring was the first active male athlete of a major American sport to come out. And unfortunately, he was not re-signed by any teams. He was a free agent at the end of the year. And some say it was because he just wasn't good enough to be picked up. But the question also comes up, what if it were because of his coming out? Do you feel this is going to help or hurt the next player in taking that step?
I think it depends on what's really underneath this. And, you know, nobody really knows. I mean, I'm sure there are people who know why this actually happened for him. But I don't know that it can hurt. I think each one is going to be a different story and a different outcome. And it's no different than, you know, does it help or hurt the next person who's been in the closet, who has been struggling, who made a conscious choice to believe that I can go ahead, I'm going to get married, I'm going to try to be this person that everybody expects that I'm supposed to be. I'm going to pretend to be something I'm not, just so I can make everybody else feel comfortable. And then because I was one of those guys, I came out at 38 years old, and I had what I consider and what a lot of people consider a very successful coming out. Does that mean that it's going to make it easier for the next one? No, because everybody's unique story and unique path is different. However, it does set a tone for, if it's about being who you are, it's about being who you are. And whether he was a good enough player or whether it was because he came out of the closet, ever the reason, it's still progress. It still paves the way. It paves the way for thoughts and beliefs and everything to be changed.
Absolutely, and I know when he did come out, there was a lot of support for him amongst fellow players, teammates, former teammates. So I know on that front, he got a very, very positive support. And there was, you know, a positive message that they all supported him for coming out. Many of them saying it didn't matter. You know, they have no problem sitting right next to him in the locker room. Because of course, you know, that's where people go. It's really just interesting the places where people go from a standpoint of, you know, well, what about being in the locker room? And it, you know, it's that funny place of. It's as if, you know, when you're gay, if you're female, it's like every female you meet, you're gonna be attracted to. And if you're male, every male you meet, you're supposed to be attracted to. Well, in the heterosexual front, it's not that way. You know, there's a lot of males and females that you meet throughout the day, and you don't automatically go down that road. But unfortunately, there still seems to be, as we've been talking about, that stigma that just because you're in a locker room full of guys and you're gay, or you're a woman in a locker room full of other females, that all of a sudden you're attracted to everybody. And I think that's, you know, again, one of those myths that has to be released, because it's not the case, without a doubt.
It's not the case. And here's a perfect example. And this is, again, I'm going to go back kind of to the masculine energy piece. Many heterosexual men are very intimidated by gay men because they think, oh, all they want to do is, you know, jump my bones and, you know, have sex with me. In reality, I hate to disappoint them. Unless you're my type, unless I'm attracted to you, unless I think you're good looking, unless you have the body type that I like, unless you have the kind of hair that I like, unless you have a great smile, and quite honestly, unless you really have something to bring to the table than a hot body, you have nothing to worry about.
Right.
And number two, not all of us are out there looking to jump everything that comes along. And I think this is that misconception that why is it that they believe all gay, especially gay men, and I'll say, you know, lesbians as well, but everybody thinks that they're all on the hunt to just like literally screw everything that comes along, when in reality, are we really any different than heterosexuals out there on the dating scene? I don't really think so. But yet, because our sexuality is not the norm, it becomes the poster child for what you shouldn't be.
Well, I remember years ago, and I say years, I'm feeling like it could be a good 15, 20 years ago, Oprah, to me, she's just so fantastic for what she's done for so many issues throughout the years. But I remember her doing a show, I don't know if it was on coming out or exactly what it was, but it was, you know, on some gay issues and things. And one of the points that got brought up, that she brought up, is that, you know, when there's a heterosexual couple that meets and dates and gets engaged and then they get married and everybody's always so happy for them and, you know, go live this wonderful life. When it's a gay couple, the first thought that everybody has immediately takes them to the bedroom. And like she said, you know, people are people and you have struggles and you have happiness and you have sadness and you have, you know, all these different things. You have to go to work every day and balance out your schedules and things like that. But I just thought it was such a fantastic point that when there's a heterosexual couple, people think about all the joy and happiness and all the positive things that are, you know, can go on for the rest, you know, they're going to take place the rest of their lives. But when it was a gay couple, the first place people go to is to the bedroom, which is exactly what we're talking about. That's not the case. It is a, just like any relationship, that is a component, but it's not the, you know, automatic thing. And she was talking about that's where she feels why people get so uncomfortable, because they can't, they take themselves there, and yet that is, you know, that any relationship is any relationship. They all have all the same components, no matter gay or straight.
Well, absolutely. And I think, you know, let's take this completely away from a sexuality discussion. And let's roll back to the 40s and the 50s when seeing someone light up and have a cigarette was the norm. That was part of life. That was what it was to be, you know, glamorous and sexy and cool and all this stuff. And now today, a lot of people don't even have the capacity to imagine why someone would want to smoke. Yet, if you've never done it, you don't understand. It's just another mask. It's just another way of numbing from life. And as an ex-smoker myself, I always used to get really upset with people who are like, I don't understand how you can enjoy that. I'm like, you know what? I didn't either until I started, and then it became an addiction. And so we look at things from such different colored glasses, but yet nothing is really all that different. And I'm not saying that smoking is similar to, you know, being a homosexual, but yet when you can't grasp why someone would smoke, it's really no different than being able to grasp why someone is attracted to the same sex. We can't ever completely understand another human being because we are not them. It's that simple.
Well, I feel one of the greatest comments or questions that I've seen pop up on social media lately is the statement of when I think there's a video that's going around that, you know, it's always the question about, you know, deciding to be gay. And there's like an interview person, they go up to people and, you know, they said, so tell me, when did you decide to be straight? And they get this
right.
Puzzled look on their face. And it's, you know, it's fantastic to watch because they, well, I didn't decide. And so then the discussion takes place about it. And I think, you know, that again, that's an important component to be looking at is the fact that this isn't, it's so much and so often thought of as a choice. And, you know, what might be some of the things or what can be done to not only help athletes, but just people around them create sort of a more tolerant environment and to sort of understand it's not a choice, it's just a part of your who.
Well, I think one of the things is first allowing everyone to have a conversation and everyone to be heard. In fact, my book that I'm writing around coming out and everything is due to be out in a couple of months, and this is one of the chapters that I talk about this being heard and allowing everyone to have their voice and be understood. We may not agree, and we may actually end up agreeing to disagree, But when we don't allow the voice to be heard, then there is no other alternative. There is no way of healing and becoming one as a humanity. And it doesn't matter if it's coming out of the closet. It doesn't matter what's happening at the Olympics. It doesn't matter if it's, you know, war in Afghanistan or whatever may be coming up. When we do not allow dialogue to happen, voices to be heard, and each other to be understood, then this is when our planet is in a huge amount of trouble. And for those who are coming out or considering it or looking at these things that are going on, if you don't allow your own voice to be heard within yourself, you can't begin the healing process. You can't begin the healing process of loving yourself. And this has nothing to do with sexuality. This has everything to do with every one of us has a closet. We have numerous closets. And every one of us is trying to come out of some closet. But when we don't even start at the very basic space of allowing our own voice to be heard by ourselves of why coming out of this closet, whether it's sexuality or overeating or being in an abusive relationship or not allowing ourselves to go thrive in a career choice that we'd like to, when we don't allow that voice, that powerful voice within, to be heard, then how the hell else will we ever allow other people's voices to be heard, even if they don't agree with who we are? We shut everything down, and when everything gets shut down, nothing gets accomplished.
That's such powerful stuff and information you've just shared there, and hopefully, you know, my thought here today, too, is that there may be somebody out there listening who maybe is struggling with this issue and, you know, and struggling with their own, you know, their own selves, and hopefully giving them some strength, and or a parent that's listening to this and gaining a greater understanding that it's just, it's a piece of who you are. It's not sort of this, you know, end all to beat all. It's just a component of who you are. It's a very, very important component. And it's a very, very major piece to be able to live your full self. And yet you shouldn't be judged just based on one thing or another thing, just as much as it shouldn't be about your hair color, your eye color, you know, your skin color. We've probably have touched on this already, but in asking sort of just the very, very direct, you know, question of, you know, in your opinion, what's the real deep down fear or issue to coming out as an athlete?
I think it's going to be individual, number one. You know, that's a really good question because I get that question, you know, a lot of what is the big fear for anyone coming out. But for an athlete, I think, you know, I'm going to try to put, you know, channel myself into that position. It could be, am I letting my country down? Am I letting my sport down? Am I letting my family down? Am I letting myself down? Am I depriving myself of a future? Am I, by doing this, going to forfeit my best, or am I bringing my best forward? There's any number of things that come out of this, and they're so individual. And I think this is where that inner exploring really comes into play. No differently than an athlete sat there at some point in their life and said, I really enjoy ice skating, or I really enjoy downhill skiing, or I really enjoy hockey. At some point in time, in each of our lives, there's been an inner exploration that finally said, this is who I am. This is what I want to be. And when we're in that alignment, and 9 times out of 10, when the fear is there, that's some out of alignment with some value we hold dear to ourselves. And the moment we can realign that value with what we want, that's the moment each and every one of us will walk through a closet door. The moment, because we are aligned. We are aligned with our true destiny. We're aligned with our true belief in ourselves. We're aligned with what we believe our powerful, passionate purpose is on this earth. And so for the athletes, I think there's many things, but when they realize by being themselves, And stepping through that doorway is just an extension of them being that downhill skier or that ice dancer or that hockey player or that bobsled team. Whatever that is, that alignment is what feeds their truth and their destiny.
And that was so well said, and hopefully, you know, something that, again, someone listening to will understand and realize it's just about allowing who you are to be your full self, and it kind of really leads into, and you've already spoken quite a bit about it, but it sort of leads into this last question I have as to, you know, what advice can you give an athlete who may be listening today, you know, who's gay and maybe really wrestling with coming out because they're just so scared of the repercussions and they're, you know, maybe fearful of their parents, their teammates, their coaches. They're just terrified of the repercussions, but, you know, they're listening and they've heard all this great stuff. You know, what might be, like you said, some advice you might be able to give them to sort of help them take that first step or two through the process?
Well, I think it all starts with really trusting yourself to be yourself and knowing what that really means for you, not for anybody else. You know, a lot of what we do in life, we do to keep others comfortable. And I love being of service to others. In fact, I do wholeheartedly believe in each of us in our own way has been put here on this earth in our human experience to be of service. The first being of service is to ourself. And when we can be of service to ourself in a loving way, we can be so much more of service to others. And if being of service to yourself as an athlete means I'm going to be comfortable in my own skin and my own sexuality, then you begin to release the jail cells of beliefs that are holding you hostage from potentially performing to your greatest potential. In fact, as you do that, you put on that cape. Each of us has a superhero cape. We just got to have the courage to put it on. And for many of us, if we don't live that truth, it's like walking outside and standing naked. In fact, there's a really funny quote from Sex and the City when Carrie Bradshaw says, I think men's balls and women's purses are so similar. They're both just little bags that if we go out in public without them, we feel naked. And I think when we go out in public without confidence in who we are, that's when we feel naked and that's when we feel threatened. And when we're threatened, we lose the freedom. We lose the freedom to realize that there's a lot of chances in life to screw up, but that means there's so many more chances to really get it right. And when we get it right, as an athlete or as a human being, as a parent or as, you know, a coach or a CEO, I don't care what it is, when you walk bravely into your passion and purpose with no regrets, no shame, and not believing that you're not good enough anymore, then you face down your demons. You face them down, you tell them, I no longer can do this. And it gives you the full permission to walk and do today what tomorrow is asking you to do.
That was awesome, and I think that is, you know, such great advice and great words, and I think that one of the things you said right there, bottom line for anyone, and yet also with an athlete that they can so identify with, is it's about being good enough when you're, you know, you're on the field or you're doing your, you know, your skill set within your sport. It's always about being good enough, but in order to be that person who is good enough, you have to live in your full truth and your full self, and by allowing all of you out, you can then be that best self, which you just so eloquently have shared with us today. And you know, I just thank you for such, you know, such great insight and great language that you helped give some people, and also just, like I said, my thought is that hopefully somebody out there's listening who may be struggling with this, you know, this is going to, mm-hmm. like, also help them have that confidence and that strength to, you know, take that step forward, or just to realize that, you know, there's nothing wrong with them and that we're all just people who are out here just all trying to do our best. And the bottom line is we all want to be liked and loved and be happy, and that's really what it comes down to.
Right.
So,
right. Well, you know, one of the things I always say to my clients, and, you know, when I'm doing some speaking, one of my last things that I say at the end of the speech is, the more you sit by not getting what you want or being who you are just because you're told you can't be that, because it makes somebody else feel uncomfortable, then the more you're allowing yourself to step into misery. And so if you come out of your closet and you allow yourself to be uncomfortable and to be uniquely who you are, even if it makes somebody else feel really uncomfortable, it's not about them, it's about you. And the more true we are to ourselves, the easier we find it to be true and supportive and loving and caring and generous and embracing to others. But it starts with ourselves first.
Well, that is so well said, and from everything you've shared too, it's about walking that authentic self, and it's something that you've learned to do and that you're doing for yourself now, and that's what you have to do. And so I think that's a great, you know, a great last few words to share with everybody, because it's been a great conversation with you here today and having you share this. And I always, I say this every show, but I always am amazed how quickly the time goes by on us. You know, again, I'd like to really thank you for your time and all your great insight and sharing. And so if you'd like to, again, just tell us, you had mentioned you've got a book coming out. I don't know if the title of the book is ready yet, or maybe give us a little bit more information about that.
Yeah, no, it is. Yeah, I do. I have a book coming out hopefully this spring. It's called Frankly, My Dear, I'm Gay. And it's my story, but it's also tips and tricks on getting through each stage of the coming out process from my perspective and how to do it successfully. And, you know, the other thing is I love working with people. My website is thecomingoutcoach.com. My other website is The Gay Man's Life Coach. And I just want to say thank you, Mandy, for bringing such a hugely important subject forward from the perspective of what are we doing as a humanity when we take that big broom and slide what's happening in Russia in the next few weeks, and we take and slide that underneath the snow, so to speak, and we still keep saying, let's not really pretend this is here. It's such an issue, and until we quit doing that for anything as human beings, we will never be a powerful human race.
Absolutely, and again, I thank you for joining me and being able to talk about this topic, because that's, as I said to you and also for our listeners, that's why I kind of planned it at the timing of what we're doing it, so we could you know, have this come out at the Olympics, so maybe there'll be a little more light, because there has actually been, you know, not as much of a spotlight on this as I feel there should be, and almost feel as if there would be if it was maybe a different subject matter. So, you know, again, thank you very much, and looking forward to that book coming out. And
thank you.
Yeah, so, you know, it's, again, it's Rick Clemens, and he's the Coming Out Coach, and I just want to, again, thank you for joining us here today.
Thanks a lot, Mandy. I appreciate it, too.
Well, I hope everyone enjoyed that conversation, because I know I was a part of the conversation when all that took place. And I have to tell you, I'm actually a little bit in awe of that conversation as it took place and unfolded. As I had listened to it already, you know, a few times before, but today, just being a part of that and really just absorbing everything that was taking place, I have to tell you, I was very, very moved by it. And one of the things that he had said, I should say there were so many things he said, but one of the things that he said sort of near the end of the conversation is about when we're truly aligned with ourselves and we come out, and no matter what it is we do, not just being about sexuality, but when we're truly aligned with ourselves and we come out, it's just an extension of who we are. And that alignment feeds our truth and destiny. And I thought that that was just so powerful, along with so many other things. I mean, I wrote some notes down, you know, and he just talked about, we were discussing with the athletes that, you know, whether we're coming out, we're depriving ourselves of our who we are in our true nature. And one of the comments he made was, that an athlete may feel that they're going to forfeit. One of the statements he made was, there may be the fear of I'm going to forfeit my best, or maybe I'm going to bring my best forward. And I just thought that that was so fantastic. piece he said there. And again, I want to thank Rick. I so wish I actually almost had him on the phone here, because I would have loved to have just thanked him again for this great conversation. And I hope it has given just more of an education, more of an understanding to everyone, because I just think it's a topic that, like as he said, is being swept under the snow and really could use much more of a spotlight. And then just sort of in general, because just to sort of bring together some last little facts here, Out Sports is a website that I found some information. And right now, in regards to moving into the Winter Olympics, there are 7 athletes that are openly out as they head into the Olympics. And the interesting thing is, first of all, there's only women, and none of them are from this country. There is an Australian snowboarder, Canadian speed skater, Austrian ski jumper, Slovenian cross-country skier, Dutch snowboarder, and a Dutch short track speed skater, and also another Dutch speed skater. I'm sparing trying to say their names because I certainly don't want to butcher them. But one of the other interesting facts that they brought up is there still has never been a single gay man to come out publicly before or while competing in the Winter Olympics. So I think that says a lot. And again, with none of these athletes being from the U.S., I think it's, again, sort of leads to this conversation that we're having, that as far as we've come in this country, I think we still have a long way to go and a long way to sort of progress forward here. But in speaking of some of the most famous or recent athletes that have come out, many will be familiar with Billie Jean King or Martina Navratilova, but as we mentioned in the interview, this year we had NBA player Jason Collins, WNBA player Brittany Griner. There's also been the USA soccer star Abby Wambach. And then also just to speak of an incident that I discovered in looking at some of the research, there was Major League umpire Dave Pallone, who back in 1988 was actually fired for being gay. So I know that was quite a few years ago, but I still think it's something that athletes do still think about, and I think there is a fear to the repercussions that are going to happen in that. But in the meantime, I figure it's a great way to end this topic today by talking about, I think, where we are headed and where I think the potential for us to move forward in this country and in general in regards to athletes. But recently there was this great story I read about Willamette University kicker Connor Mertens announced that he is bisexual, and he's becoming the first college football player to publicly identify as a member of the LGBT community while still active in his sport. And then what makes this story even better is it was followed up by Chandler Whitney, who is his boyfriend and a baseball player at the Walla Walla Community College in Washington State. And he came out to his teammates, and he stood up in front of them, and he said, "You know that college football player at Willamette who came out?" And he asked his teammates, and he basically then said, "I'm dating that guy." And Whitney said that the team broke into spontaneous applause. So what a great way to sort of wrap up this conversation today, because I think that's, again, let's highlight some of the positives of where we can go. And Whitney also said that in the days after his announcement, he has not noticed any change from his teammates. Nobody shies away from him in or out of the locker room, and it's been business as usual. So I think it's a great place to end today's conversation, because it is a glimmer of the acceptance we need to see and must see if there's going to be a forward movement towards being in full acceptance of everyone. And as Rick sort of pointed out in there, it's not just about, it's not just a topic about being gay. It's about being in full acceptance of everyone and everything we're doing. So I hope this conversation today has brought some awareness and understanding to a very important issue that, pardon the pun, needs to come out and be discussed more. So in that, I hope you enjoyed our topic today. But before we sign off, I want to let you know of some of the upcoming things we have within our Life Coach Radio networks. Again, I want to remind you of our New Year, New You 2014 in-person workshop taking place this weekend in New York City. And there's still time to get your tickets and to attend. And again, I'll be doing a workshop on defining what success means to you Sunday at 3. And for more information or to get tickets, you can go to lifecoachradionetworks.com. And that's lifecoachradionetworks with an S. .com, and you can get more information there or purchase tickets. And if you would like to learn more about me or reach me, here's the information on myself. My website is coachmandy.com. My email is mandy@coachmandy.com. I am on Facebook, which is at Inner Winning Coaching, Twitter at Life Coach Mandy, and again, I'll be on February 21st at noon. But before we go, I want to just let you know of some upcoming shows on Life Coach Radio Network. The next show we have is Monday, February 10th at 8 p.m., Spiritually Speaking with Reverend Jen. On Tuesday, February 11th at noon, we have Fun to Fortunes, Entrepreneur Startup Success with Coach Jeff. And then on Sunday, February 16th, we have Mark My Words with Certified Life and Business Coach Mark Shaw. And coming up on Life Coach Chat Channel, this Sunday, February 9th, Super Soul Sunday After Show, Soul to Soul, which will be on at noon. And then on the International Life Coach Radio, our next show is Saturday, February 8th, which is tomorrow at 2 p.m. And the show is Exceeding Awesome with Lynn Brunette and guest Kim Boudreaux-Smith. So, again, thank you to my guest, Rick Clemens, the Coming Out Coach, and to all of you for listening, because I think this is a great topic and something that does need more discussion. And I do look to get into this a little bit more in some future shows, because I do think it's an important area to go. So thank you again for listening. Have a great few weeks, and I will talk to you and see you on February 21st. And again, have a great few weeks until we meet again, and take care.